This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative. Hey friends, this is Tim McKenna and you're listening to another episode of Signal 337. I've been giving a lot of thought to candidate experience lately. I've gone down the rabbit hole of a new YouTube channel called Life After Layoff, and it's basically a recruiter, HR professional who's been working as corporate recruiting and HR people talent for like 20 years. And it's been really interesting to watch his take around applying for jobs, things to look out for, things to consider, your resume and everything. And it was really interesting that one of his episodes talked about the candidate experience. And I'd never heard the term before, but as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about. And he was talking about how companies that don't have a great candidate experience are really telling about how they are organized and how you can expect certain things to be at that organization. Because if they can't get the experience right for people to join their company and potentially be hired, there's probably some red flags there how the rest of the organization operates. So I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, but the candidate experience is something that for many people who may not be customers of a company, this might be their first interaction with an organization. If you're applying for a job, applying for a role at a company, and you expect a review of your resume, your application, you're going to go through the whole interview process, you want to ensure, if you are a company, that experience is a positive one for candidates, regardless if you bring them on or not. That is going to set the tone for anyone trying to come to your organization and is going to continue to protect your reputation as an organization that actually cares about people, if you actually do care about people, organizations. So candidate experience is one of those things that needs to be really thought out and need to be deliberately thought about, planned, and created in a way that is going to continue to protect your brand reputation, but also be something that, as people are applying for, don't feel like they are wasting their time. So I want to talk about one aspect of the candidate experience, and that is very specific to designers, the design exercise. Many companies that do hire designers tend to have an exercise, whether it is a joint exercise that you do live with other people, usually other designers or the hiring manager, or most often it is a take-home project that you will do outside of your normal workday, not in the interview itself, but you will create some sort of artifacts, create something so that the hiring manager or the designers that are doing the interview process, they can see how you think. They can see how you present. They can see how you talk through your problems and talk through your thinking. And you would do this on your own time, and it could be anywhere from just a couple of hours. You may get a week. It all really depends. And again, the idea is to understand how you approach the work, how your thinking is, and it can be as detailed as walking through a prototype or just walking through a concept with some sketches. In theory, a design exercise is meant to basically see if a candidate can actually walk the walk. You can have a candidate that on paper looks fucking golden. They look great. You can then speak to this candidate, and they may be the most eloquent person that you have ever spoken with. They know how to say all the right things, and they have charisma, they have this confidence, and you're just like, wow, this person sounds great. They can really sell themselves. But all of that can all be a front. You can have candidates that look great on paper, have got some great case studies, may have a great portfolio, can really sell themselves, or are great presenters. But when you see their work, you're like, okay, there's a mismatch here. How are you doing this? Some people are snake oil. They are snake oil salesmen. And that fear of hiring the wrong candidate and spending that much amount of time, money, and effort to bring somebody in who you think is going to add so much value to your organization, to your team, to your company, ends up being a turd, then you're like, crap, we screwed up. So the idea that a design exercise is meant to pierce that veil, let's see how someone really thinks. Let's see how well they work through their problems. I want to understand how you go about doing your process. And it's admirable. I understand it completely. You have product organizations and companies that are in some really niche markets, are doing some really interesting work. The sky's the limit. There's so much different type of work out there. But you want to make sure that you are hiring the best talent. You want to make sure that you are hiring the right people that can do the work. And the last thing that you want to have happen is to bring someone on who can't do it. So I understand the value of a design exercise. But, and there's always a but, is that in theory it sounds great, but many times in practice it is a giant pain in the ass, it is borderline criminal, and it is one of those things where you can really destroy the candidate experience with a very poorly defined, poorly measured, very subjective design exercise. Walk through some examples that I've been through, that I've heard from some of my colleagues, and I would give some suggestions on how to make this much more successful if you are hiring designers and you want to do a design exercise. So, horror stories. Years ago, I had a exercise that I was given for a head of design role at a life sciences company. So, this was an executive leadership role. I was interested in it and got a design exercise that was very particular and also very vague. Come up with whatever problem. So the problem wasn't given to me. I could create my own problem, and I would have to design 5 or 6 screens. All right, so I'm doing some UI work that would walk me through how I solved my problem. So no problem statement, no industry. I could choose whatever. It's incredibly vague. And I had then very prescriptive direction on creating 5 or 6 screens to walk the audience through how I approached my problem, and here's the end product. So they really wanted some like high fidelity screens. They didn't want concepts. They wanted something that would look like the product. It's like, okay, I'm skipping a whole bunch of areas here. Like sketches, I got to really define the problem. There's a lot here. Basically, you want me to do theater work. You want me to do UI theater. But I was also told, don't spend too much time on it, 4 to 5 hours. Oh, okay, 4 to 5 hours isn't much time. Okay, that's relative speaking. And be prepared to talk about your process, what ideas and concepts went into how you solved and approached the problem, and you would be reviewed in a group setting with 3 to 4 individuals from product engineering and other design. I was like, okay, that's incredibly vague and prescriptive all at once. And what was I actually being measured against? So there was no problem definition. There was no real direction. They just wanted to see how well I could really create some UI concepts around something. So I had to make up my own problem. I thought I did a pretty good job. Actually, I had to swallow my pride a little bit and be like, okay, don't say fuck this. Don't say fuck this. Don't say fuck this. Go through it. To me, this was a flag that this was a very immature organization. They either don't have a design capability, which I found out they didn't. They either have an immature capability, or they just didn't know how to do this, and they looked at other organizations, and they didn't have any sort of framework or any sort of measures to actually evaluate the work. I did the work, and I was praised for my thinking, the problem that I came up with. There was a lot of questions around my thinking. I'm like, well, I just guessed and had this problem, stuff that I've done before. I don't know how it really can be evaluated for you, but I did the problem, I did the project, and I was ghosted. I was like, wow. I spent about 5-6 hours on that, on my own time. And sure, did I spend more time than they thought I would? Yeah, but I wanted to make sure I was doing it right. I have pride in my work. And I was wondering, why the hell am I doing this type of exercise for an executive level position? Something like this, I may have created with a lot more definition and constraints for a junior designer to create some UI and some thinking. There was really nothing more for this project that really would relate to a role that was executive level. Ghosted on that, and it made me really think about this company, about, wow, this is a really poorly thought out design exercise. I pointed this out to them. I was then ghosted for this role, and I felt like I actually dodged a bullet, because if this is indicative of how the rest of the organization works, that is scary. Another horror story, I had a good friend of mine who was relating this to me, is that they were given a very well-defined problem. They're given a very well-defined brief about what the exercise is, what the organization is, and really, as I was reading through it and understanding it, it was an actual problem of that organization. So, quote unquote, real work. This was something that they were actually working on, and they wanted to get a candidate to look at this as well. Okay, I was like, okay, this is very particular, very defined, and as my friend was walking through his process of how he's doing stuff, he was showing me the brief, and it was incredibly detailed. It had a very well-defined problem statement. It had some very well-defined metrics for measuring against how they were going to evaluate the work. And it gave a lot of context as to why you can do certain things and why you can't. And the more and more I read and the more I understood, this seemed like they were trying to crowdsource new ideas from their candidate pool. So I kept that in the back of my mind, and when my friend went and did the actual presentation, spent a couple of days doing this work. There was no time limit or time frame. It was he got the stuff on a Friday, and then had the follow-up review on next Thursday, so almost a week later. And walked through everything, and he was grilled for his work. He was a lot of very particular questions, a lot of detailed focus on the questions, and a lot of trying to understand. And he related to me that it felt like he was in an actual critique actually doing the project. And he thought this was all a great thing. This could actually solve some of their problems. I'm like, yeah, this is borderline into spec work. He also was ghosted, didn't hear back from that organization afterwards. No follow-up email saying we've gone with another candidate. But he questions, as do I, how much of that work in that design exercise actually was used in their product? You had to question. Now, I worked at an organization that actually did this work, and this was not for design work, but this was for communications. So I worked at a large student loan finance company that, as part of the interview process for a communications role, they wanted to see some examples of past work. That's, you know, not an issue. That's like a portfolio. Like, here's some examples of my past work, some past pieces that I've written. But then they wanted their candidates to write basically a blog style post about something in the student loan industry. They were basically crowdsourcing that work from their candidates. I had a good friend of mine that applied for the role and was telling me about this. And I was like, wait, they're having you do what? Like, basically you have to do free work? And he's like, yeah, it seems very much like they want spec work done, because they gave me a couple of topics that I could choose from and then write about. And I even asked them if they're going to use this work. And they said, no, we just want to evaluate your writing. I'm like, they could have done that from your previous pieces, but they insisted on this exercise. So I learned from him that he did the exercise. And again, he had asked them, like, okay, I just want to understand, this was part of my, you know, interview process, this isn't going to be used. And they're like, oh, no, we're not. And then they basically didn't pick them. And then they actually used the work. They did create a post about it. And when I learned about that, I was livid. And I brought it up to our people talent and HR and talked about how this is unethical to be crowdsourcing and basically taking this work for free that you want from candidates in your experience to do, and you have no intention of hiring them. It was one of many nails in the coffin that led me to leave that organization. But student loan finance is in a really weird place in the United States right now, so best of luck. Those are some horror stories. Those were some design exercises that were pretty poor examples because they either were incredibly vague with no sort of constraints and understands of how the work was going to be evaluated and measured, to borderline and blatant spec work that they were getting from candidates. And this creates a very negative reputation, very negative experience for candidates. And with more and more individuals looking very hard at their next path, their next branch in their career, candidate experience is going to be something that a lot of companies are either going to really focus on or focus on when it's too late. Because right now, people are looking for their next step that's going to be more meaningful for them, and they're not going to take positions with companies that, if they can't get the first initial interaction, they're not going to spend their time with that company. So companies that are thinking about their candidate experience are going to net out and going to win this fight here. Companies that just think of this as business as usual, you're going to have a very hard time finding really qualified candidates. How do you fix this? There's so many companies that do a design exercise and they do it very poorly. What can you as an organization do to create a better candidate experience, create a better design exercise that is going to be much more fair and equitable and have good constraints, a good solid approach that is not going to leave a poor taste in candidates' mouth? One of the things that I would suggest, and this takes a lot longer, is to do a synchronous session. Do a whiteboard session. I've been in organizations where you are sitting around the table and you're going to walk through some stuff and you're doing a whiteboard session. And it's real free thinking, it's real loose, but if the goal is to try to understand how this candidate thinks, a whiteboard session is something that you can easily do to recreate a scenario for how people might work and how someone can lead a discussion and think about things. Now, you're probably thinking, oh, Tim, but we're in this world of being remote. How do we have a whiteboard session? Don't let being remote be the blocker here. There are many tools, and you can even go super lo-fi with this. Figma introduced FigJam recently. It's a way for collaborative whiteboarding to happen. Google has their own jam session stuff. They have the ability to do that. You have Miro and Mural and God knows how many other tools. Hell, you can even take paper and pen and move your webcam so that you can see the concepts there. And again, you can do this all sorts of different ways. You can use whatever tools or lo-fi approach, but the goal is You want to set it up in a way so that you give that person the time while you're there to really ask questions and think through things and have them map things out, draw stuff real lo-fi. And that way you're not having them invest much more time on their end, and you're getting a much more intimate view of how this person thinks and interacts. And in fact, that's probably better than having them go off and do the project outside, because you're still not going to get the whole picture of how someone works. Again, if the goal is to try to understand how someone thinks, works, and approaches things, synchronous whiteboarding sessions, whether in person or through a tool, through remote tools and everything, is probably one of the better ways to do it. Now, it's a lot more time involved, but you have to be very discerning about who goes into that whiteboarding session, and just can't give everyone a design exercise to take home and then just evaluate from there. Because what happens oftentimes is that the evaluation of the work from those design projects, those design exercises, do you share back with the candidates how everything was evaluated? You can do that much more fluidly and much more integrated when you're doing a whiteboard session. Other things that you can do to make your design exercise much more equitable, fair, and something that people are going to have a positive experience is really properly defining what it is. Like, what is the problem? And make it something that is not super industry specific to the work that you do. I work in a very niche industry, and the design exercise that I went through was for a problem that is industry adjacent, but not something that was super focused on the actual product itself. Like, I didn't have to have industry knowledge. I just had to do some thinking around some flows around how someone could do XYZ task. And the framing of that in an industry just gave me some context to think about. Beyond that, there was nothing in that exercise that made me think that I was doing free work for the company, like I was trying to solve their own real world problems. So creating good context, giving a narrative around what the problem is and what are some of the tasks that you want to see someone think about and map out, that is a great way to give your design exercise some parameters. So that way you don't have candidates trying to go down certain tangents and try to create some different solutions that's not really answering some of the problems, but you are creating a way for everyone to work in the same canvas. That way you can evaluate individuals fairly on how they have addressed the problems that you put forth in your exercise. Another thing that you can do to make your design exercises fair is time boxing them. Now, again, this goes back to the first one about doing them synchronously, but honestly, giving it a time box. So you have an hour, you have 45 minutes. Again, being very focused on what the actual exercise is trying to do, giving it a time box, so that way you're not unfairly giving anyone any more time to really think about it, so that way you have a much more even playing field to evaluate everyone's work. A time box is great. You can take an hour to do a Zoom call or have them come into your office, whichever one that you have set up. Take an hour. They got 10 minutes to review the brief with you, 5 minutes for questions, and then they've got 35 minutes to come up with some concepts, and then the rest of the time, they're just going to walk you through stuff, and you can ask questions. You can take an hour, you can take an hour and a half. The longer it is, the more you got to think about everyone else's day. You can do something very simple like that, and that is a very fair, a very engaged exercise. In that way, you have much more equal footing and same kind of data to evaluate against. Which candidate solved the problems best, which ones had the most unique approaches, which ones really thought about it, and how much did they really invest into it. Now, I've been very focused on design exercises, but there are other exercises and other adjacent, fields. communications one, engineering, development's another one. And they have stuff figured out fairly well as too. You could have organizations that do coding exercises. They may like, hey, let's see some of your stuff. Let's write this simple JavaScript application here. Just write something real simple, have it display here, and put it up on CodePen or something. You can have someone pair programming, and you can have someone review some APIs and have someone write an API or write some bit of code or fix something. So you can do this also with development and engineering. And for communication, you can have someone edit an existing piece. Like, hey, we got this piece. Can you edit this and understand how to make this a little bit more approachable or fits AP style or whatever? Or you can also just share some past work. I think with communication, you have a lot more to really to lean on looking at that work, whereas with the design stuff, it's a little bit more of a black box. How did someone get to the end result? But with the communication, you know, pieces there, with any sort of writing, blog posts, press releases, or articles, like the proof is there. You're seeing the work there. Now, why am I really harping on all this? Design exercises are something I'm seeing to crop up even more and more as standard practice with organizations. And I'm seeing them at all levels, from junior roles up to executive level roles. And I have to be honest with you, the executive level roles are really confusing to me with a design challenge, because if you're at that level of like director or head of, a design challenge seems to be a mismatch. And that's something that I would say is a red flag. If you're applying for senior management roles, leadership roles, and they're having you do a design exercise that seems pretty junior or seems very vague in that regard, it's probably not the right fit. But companies who get this right, organizations that really think about their candidate experience and think about their design exercises as part of the entire ecosystem of how a candidate comes from their application to either being brought in, having an offer, or being passed on, if you map out that entire experience and create a positive one, even those individuals who were passed on can say that at least the experience was a good one. It sets them up with the expectation of what to look for in another organization. Now, there's other areas about the whole candidate experience that I can really go into. Everything from applicant tracking systems and your application versus reading your resume, hiring practices around interviewing, and well, other new technologies and stuff I've seen around like video interviews and little snippets from personality tests. There's so many other areas of the candidate experience that I could make an entire series about this, but I would highly suggest taking a look at Life After Layoff on YouTube. It's a great channel. I have found a lot of value out of that and getting to understand how organizations really think about their talent management, their people resources, and how companies that do this well set themselves up for success versus the ones that don't. So I highly recommend checking out that YouTube channel. And if you want to talk more about your experiences with design exercises, tell me some ones that you've seen that are really good, which processes and which organizations have done a really good job with it, and also share your horror stories, like which ones have you seen are just ridiculous. But with all of that, I just want to say thank you so very much for listening in today's episode and being a big fan of the show. It helps us out a great deal when you talk about it on Twitter and on LinkedIn, which you can find us on both platforms at Signal337 on Twitter, and you can find us on LinkedIn as well. You can always get all these episodes at Signal337.com and Signal337.castos.com, our awesome podcast host. And again, everything that I talk about is from my experience, my observations. They're not indicative of past companies or present companies that I work with. I may talk about some past experiences, but these are all my own observations and everything that I've experienced. So with that, I want to say thank you so very much and take care.